Good morning again. What a day it's been already. How incredible it is to come to worship, to have the ability to share and to witness baptism all over again, even though we did it just 2 weeks ago. And Jeremiah told me he'll do that again second service. So if anybody really feels like they missed out this morning, that water's still ready and it's still cold. What a great, great time. As you know, we're continuing in our series of gift exchange. And it's kind of a weird kind of a series to come up with at Christmas because it's an exchange of gifts. And the premise behind this, wow, this one's really getting beat up. And that's the whole point, is what we bring to God, what we bring. Tyler shared with us this morning. He said it was all messed up, right? But you don't have to be cleaned up before you come to God. We bring him our trash. This one that looks like it's already been recycled a time or two. It's beat up, it's torn, and this is what we bring to him. And in exchange for that, he gives us something completely unblemished. His righteousness. And that's what he provides for us in exchange for the trash that we bring. And as we're looking at that throughout the series, we're kind of breaking that down based on a passage in Isaiah. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Isaiah. And it's Isaiah chapter 9. And we're kicking that off with the same verse each week. And it's chapter 9, verse 6. But before we dig into that, I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. Lord, we do pray this morning, as Jeremiah said, that my words would not be what anyone hears, but your words coming through me. Lord, you've already said it all right here in your word. And that's what we come to hear this morning, is to hear you speak through the words of Isaiah, through the words of Luke. Lord, I ask that you would open our hearts to hear what you have to say. And we do pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you remember in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah's prophecy took place way, way, way before this Christmas that we celebrate. 700 years before. 700 years in advance of the birth of Jesus, Isaiah wrote these words. And in looking at this gift exchange that we're talking about, you have to recall that it wasn't a silent night. We sing Silent Night and it's so nice and we have candlelight and those kind of things. But the time that Isaiah is writing this was not a silent night at all. It was a very troubled time in the history of Judah. Now, the last series that we did on the life of Elijah, we focused on the northern kingdom of Israel. This time we're focusing on the southern kingdom of Judah. And there's a man by the name of Ahaz who was the king of Judah at this time. And he, like all the kings of Israel that we talked about, did not please God. He was not a good king. He did not follow. He was not obedient. As a matter of fact, he did some of the most atrocious things that you can even begin to imagine during his reign. And that's the time in which Isaiah is prophesying the things that we're going to read today. Now, last week, if you recall, Jeremiah shared about this first exchange that we talked about. And do you remember what that was? Just to rekindle that, let's look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And it says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. So what's the exchange there? We exchange our darkness for his light. The gift exchange, darkness for light. We bring the nasty darkness. He restores with light. What is the light? The Bible tells us, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, correct? And that's the same thing. Now, part of that prophecy was during the time of Ahaz, the time of Isaiah. But it was fulfilled with Jesus when he said, I am the light of the world. So that's what we talked about a little bit last week, was that gift exchange of darkness for light. What took place to create that exchange is where we're going to begin today. And that's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We're going to fast forward just a couple of verses, and we're going to look at verse 6. And in verse 6, the first part of that says, For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. Stop right there for a moment. So wait a minute. You're telling me that God decided that this exchange of darkness for light was in a baby? Yes, exactly. And that's what we celebrate. It's in a baby. You can probably imagine how confused Ahaz may have been when he heard this part of the prophecy. much as 700 years later, everybody was confused. They're looking for this Messiah. They're looking for this conqueror that's going to come riding in on the stallion. You know, all that's going to take place later, isn't it? But it didn't take place in this venue. It didn't take place in the time of Ahaz. It didn't take place in the time of Christ's birth. It's a baby born in a manger. But unto us a child is born, a son is given. So what's the cure? What's the problem? What's this darkness and the light? What's our problem? It's sin. It's sin. You see, that's the darkness in which we all dwell without the Savior of Jesus, is sin. And it's a tremendous problem. It's incredible darkness. It is so inky black. Have you ever been in a cavern when they turn the lights off and you can do like this and you cannot even see your hand move in front of your face? It's that black. That's that complete, total absence of light until the baby was born. And that's the light. That's the light. You see, Jesus wants to cure us. He wants to heal us. He wants to do away with all of this. You know, folks sometimes ask, well, then why is there evil in the world? Why didn't Jesus just wipe out evil? If Jesus were to have wiped out evil completely, how many people would be in this room today? Zero. Hello. Imagine the story of Noah and the ark, except there's no Noah and there's no ark. So in other words, God says, you know what, I'm done, I've had it with these people, and the floods come and the rains come, except he didn't tell Noah, he didn't warn Noah, because Noah was just like us, born in sin. That's the end of the book. There'd be no Bible. We wouldn't need one. So if Jesus had wiped out all evil, we'd have gone down, wouldn't we? So I'm kind of glad he didn't wipe out evil, because he would have killed me too, and my family, and everybody I care about. But he provided a solution, and he wants to give us that cure. He wants to give us that complete solution. You know, sometimes we go to the doctor. I haven't been where I had gone this week. I started to say I haven't been this week, but I did. And I was talking to the doc, and I was like, hey, I got this issue and this issue. And he's like, well, let me give you some medicine. It wasn't about my leg. It was something different. Go help me. Getting old is really not fun. And I was like, but doc, you're treating symptoms. I want to be healed. I want to be better. I don't want to have to do this the rest of my life and take this medicine. But you see, and that's what happened in this whole Old Testament with the sacrifices and all that. It's treating symptoms. Jesus doesn't want to treat symptoms. He wants to give you the cure. I don't want something that makes me sleep better or something that makes me stay awake better. I just want to have a good night's sleep. But see, that's what God cures. He cures the whole thing. Through Jesus Christ, we have that entire healing. Not a treatment of symptoms, but you're on that medicine for the rest of your life. Jesus heals, and he's healed, period. It's done. How does he do that? Let's read the rest of chapter, or verse 6. For to us a child is born, for us a son is given, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, Isaiah is talking about Jesus here, and he's telling us exactly not only who he is, but what he's going to do. And those are the things we're going to break down over the next 3 or 4 weeks through the rest of the month. Is these names. But before we even get into the names, he's talking about Jesus' character, but also his identity. The nature, Jesus' nature. Verse 6 again, for to us a child is born. That speaks to his humanity. Jesus was 100% man. I know we've said that before, and I know we emphasize that again and again, but Jesus was 100% man, his humanity. And to us a son is given. Whose son are we talking about here? To us a son is given. It's the Son of God. Jesus was 100% God. So you got 100% man, 100% God. Makes absolutely no sense in our human mind. That can't possibly exist. But guess what? He's God. And so, yes, he can make that happen. And he had to make that happen. That's the only way that we could have this cure. That's the only possible way. Because if he had not been 100% man, he couldn't have paid the price as a man for my sin or your sin. But he did, and he did. Let's talk about the names a little bit. The names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those aren't just his names. That's what he's going to do. That's what he does for us. You know, names in the Old Testament were very, very important. You know, today we pick names because they sound good, or maybe it's somebody junior or this kind of thing. And some people's names, sometimes I wonder, where did you get that? So there's some crazy baby names out there. Y'all heard some of these, right? Jim, I actually did a little research on this for me, and he came up with a couple of these. Have you ever heard? Some of these are real names now, real names. Somebody named their child Gamble Moore. Took you a minute to catch that, didn't it? Banana Bowdy. Who does that? Mustard M. Mustard. Really? These are crazy. People make these things up, and those are for real. But in the Old Testament, names mean something. Remember we talked about Elijah when we were talking about his life, and Elijah was Yahweh is my God, was his name. So when we look at these names, and we're going to focus exclusively today on Wonderful Counselor. The next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about those other names. But Wonderful Counselor is the one we're looking at today. Wonderful Counselor. The word wonderful in the original language is Pele. The original language, that's Pele. Beyond understanding. So absolutely incredible. So in wonderfully imaginable. You can't even look at this without just complete awe. Have you ever had that experience? There's lots of times when that takes place. I had just yesterday. It was kind of interesting. Sarah and Chris, our grandkids were over because they had some things to do. And Stephanie does a lot with the grandkids on a regular basis, and I don't get that opportunity. Plus, I'm not the best baby person. I like kids, babies. I love them. I just don't know what to do with them. You know, if you would use your words and tell me why you're crying, we could work through this. But they don't seem to want to do that. But yesterday, I had little Ben, and Stephanie was playing with Lily, and I had little Ben, and it's nap time, and I give him a bottle, and I'm in the rocking chair, and he falls dead asleep in my arms. And that was kind of cool. But then when I pulled that bottle out, I looked at his little face and his perfect little features and that innocent little mouth. And I was just so awestruck. God made this. God made him. And what an incredible creature. Now, we know what they grow into, so don't even go there. But this face, this person with these tiny little fingers and curly little eyelashes. And it was just, Stephanie came in, she said, do you want me to put him in the crib? And I said, no, I'm not giving this up. Plus, I couldn't get up. But I looked at that and I was like, this is what this means to me. This is this incredible, I could stare forever. And that's that definition of wonderful in the Wonderful Counselor. And then the word counselor, the next part of that, is Yahwetz. Yahwetz. An advisor. An instructor. A guide. But it comes with authority. So it's not just a best friend, but it's a best friend that has all the authority. Wow. A best friend that has all the authority. So this is somebody you can take all your garbage to, that you can be completely transparent, you can be completely honest, you can pour out your soul. And they don't just say, oh, that's too bad. I feel your pain. But because they have the authority and they have the wisdom, that they can give you the guidance that you need to work through that. Jesus has that authority. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 15. See, he's already been there. He's done this. For we do not have a high priest who is unable sympathize. Why? Because he was tempted, just like we are. But he never sinned. You see, he was tempted just like we were. He walked a mile in my shoes. And you know, if you really want advice, you go to somebody that doesn't understand the problem? Do you go to somebody that can't deal with this? No, you know somebody that's already dealt with this, that's been through it. Jesus has been through it. And he has the authority to heal. The wonderful counselor. You know, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes into the synagogue. And here's what he says, and this is Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Some of this is on the screen, but not all. So he came to Nazareth, it says, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So he walks in, and he stood up to read. And they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, which is what we're reading from today, right? From the scroll of Isaiah. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Okay, that's pretty cool. He's reading Isaiah. We read Isaiah today too, right? But then he goes on and he says, and he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, this is a take-home right here. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You see, Jesus read all of this about the wonderful counselor. And then he said, oh, by the way, that's me. You see, that's huge. That's huge. So in this gift exchange, when we bring the trash and he gives us the glory, the perfect gift. What are we looking at? We're looking at the wonderful counselor. We bring our sorrow, and he gives us joy. We come bankrupt, and he gives us good news. See, it was right there in Luke. Sorry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. The poor, the bankrupt. Completely bankrupt, and he gives us what? The good news that he is the Messiah, that he's the Savior, that we have salvation through him. We come in bondage. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. We bring him our bondage. Bondage to what? To sin. So we come in bondage to sin. And he gives us freedom. He liberates. Jeremiah led that when we were singing here, that he has freed us from the bondage of sin. Recovering sight of the blind. We come blind. We can't see even our own mess. But he gives us that sight. We come oppressed. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. We bring our oppression, but he uplifts and comforts. He is all of those things. Those are the exchanges that we make. We bring him the mess, and he makes it better. But how do we approach him when we do this is the question that I want us to kind of take home today, is how do we approach this? We have to be completely honest. We have to be completely honest with him. Sometimes we go to God, and I'm as guilty as anyone else of coming to him, and why do we seem to think that if we don't tell the truth that he doesn't know? You know, the woman at the well, that Jesus met at the well, and he says, go get your husband, and she said, oh, I don't have a husband, and he says, you know what, you're right, you don't, but you had five. But she was honest, she said, I don't. See, we'd say, let me go, I'll take care of this in a minute, Jesus, because we have a tendency to want to lie to him. But if we're going to be healed, we've got to be completely honest, brutally honest. He can see through all of that. We cast our cares on him through that honesty. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. That righteousness isn't our own. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ on us, washed away, just like we saw in the baptism, where all the old is washed away and we have the new. So we have to be completely honest with him. The second thing we have to do, if we want to be truthful with the counselor, if we want to approach this mighty counselor, is that we have to actually want to be healed. We have to want to be healed. And sometimes we want to be healed, but we don't necessarily want to go through what it takes to be healed. This is not fun. I'm tired of being called Peggy. But it's what I have to go through to be healed. You see, we want to, okay, you're better. You know, I used to think that, just give me some surgery. Just go in there and fix it. You know, once you have surgery, it's never the same. They don't put you back together, right? Because they're not God. So we have to want to be healed. You know, the thing is, I've shared with you before, we talk about, you know, Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey. Oh, are you a Dave Ramsey fan? Yeah, I've read all his books. I don't follow any of them, but I read them all. Because it's hard. I don't want to do that. I make my kids do it. I make my sons-in-law do it, and my daughters hate me for it. But it's good stuff. But you see, we have to want to be there. We have to want to be healed. Augustine, he said, make me pure, but not yet. I got some more stuff I want to deal with. You see, we try so hard to do it on our own. What's the third thing? We have to do what he says. We have to do what he says. I had a situation, gosh, it's been 10 years ago now, where I was dealing with some issues. And for some reason, and I've never been one that had anxiety or panic attacks, and all of a sudden this is happening to me, and I had to go to a counselor, and I'm talking to him. And he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down this path. I want you to do these things. So I go out of town for another week on my job, and I come back, and I'm like, I did what you told me, and it didn't work. And he said, whoa, tell me everything that happened. And I described to him exactly. And he said, well, you just thought you did what I told you. You didn't do what I told you. Listen to what you're saying to yourself. And he's right, because I didn't do what I was told. You see, if we don't do what we're told, what good is it to go to a counselor? There's folks that have phobias, and you talk about exposure therapy. Well, we're going to go through some exposure. Whoa, I'm not doing that. You want me to go actually see what I'm afraid of? I'm not doing that. So we run away from this exposure therapy because I don't want to do what he's saying. I want the instant fix. But sometimes we have to go through what it takes to get there. What kind of obedience are we talking about? What are we talking about? Well, maybe you need to forgive someone who hurt you. No. You don't understand. They're not even sorry they did it. Okay. But who's bitter, you or them? Bitterness is only going to kill the one that's bitter. You know that? Bitterness only hurts the one that's bitter. The one you're bitter toward, doesn't touch them. Or setting boundaries in a relationship. Well, that might hurt their feelings. Okay. But right is right. Or giving sacrificially. Give up something? Well, or we're back to Dave Ramsey again. Sacrificial giving. Or to move out of your comfort zone. Tyler just shared with you, I don't do people. I don't talk in front of a crowd. He did it, didn't he? It didn't sound nervous to me. Because God gave him the strength and the power to step out of that comfort zone. You see, those are the kind of things that we have to deal with. And here's the most important. Here's the most important. You have to listen to him. You have to listen to him. John 10:27, Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. But we can't listen to the wonderful counselor if we're not his sheep. What does that mean? That means everything that we've talked about all day today and throughout this whole series. If you're not part of Jesus' flock, we're wasting our time, our effort, our energy, and our breath. Because we can't hear him if we're not his sheep. We don't know his voice. Well, how do I know his voice? You give your life to him. You give your life to him. We bring all the trash, the broken boxes, the torn lid, everything that's messed up in my life. And we lay it at his feet. And we bring him into our lives by accepting the gift that he gives us of salvation, where he died on that cross in my place to pay the penalty for sin because he was human and God. And that's the righteousness that we put on. And that's when he becomes that wonderful counselor. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, none of this is going to make any sense. None of that makes any sense. But if it does make sense, and you take that step, the healing's complete. This gift exchange is forever. So as the band comes up, I want us to take a couple of moments and to think through that. And to see, what does this mean? Where am I in a relationship? Am I even in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he my wonderful counselor? Or is it just stories that I've maybe heard all my life, or maybe I've never heard it at all? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Is he your wonderful counselor? Because it can be today. You know, none of us are guaranteed another breath, another minute. But Jesus is calling us to accept that gift. And this season, when we're doing gift exchange, is a perfect time to make that exchange, to turn in all that garbage. I don't have to, well, you know, I've got some things I need to work through. I need to clean up my life and then I'll talk to God. You can't. It doesn't work that way. The only way that works is if you lay the trash down to him and pick up his righteousness that he gives to us through his salvation, through his death on the cross, through his burial and his resurrection. If you've never done that, I encourage you to come talk to us. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. For the gift of salvation that you give to us. For the exchange of my sorrow for your joy. For the salvation that you give us, that you put our righteousness on there and cover the filthy rags that we have. Forgive our sins. We do thank you in Jesus' name.